welcome to Governor Tim Pawlenty's podcast from the great state of Minnesota. At a Capitol press conference, Governor Tim Pawlenty said the 2007 legislative session achieved many of the goals he outlined in his inaugural and State of the State addresses, including key provisions for veterans and military members and major progress on renewable energy initiatives, education, and health care reform. In addition, the bills passed by the legislature spend a total of $34.68 billion, a 10.1% increase over 2 years, a budget consistent with the governor's commitment to fiscal discipline and government living within its means. Those figures may be lowered by vetoes or line item vetoes. The following is the audio of Governor Pawlenty's remarks from the press conference.
From our standpoint, the session started in January, 5 months ago, with a $2.2 billion positive balance in the budget. In the forecast, I proposed a budget that would allow spending to increase in the state budget by about 10% over 2 years. I thought that was enough. When GDP is about 3% economic growth, people's paychecks are between 2 and 4%. Inflation is below 3%. So I think having state government live within a 10% annual growth is reasonable and sustainable and responsible. And key priorities can be funded within that amount if you're willing to choose priorities and have a focus and a strategy, which is sometimes difficult in the legislative process. And our budget, of course, included no new taxes and a historic low level of fees. In the inaugural and the State of the State speech that I gave earlier this year, we focused on four key priorities for our administration. They were veterans and military support programs for the men and women who are serving in our military and veterans and their families. A second was fiscal discipline. A third was a better and brighter energy future for Minnesota and our country. Fourth was health care reform and improvements in our health care delivery system. I'll just touch very briefly on each of those and then stand for your questions. First, the legislative session yielded a very terrific bipartisan veterans and military support package. We got good help from key DFL leaders on this issue. We're grateful for that. Almost all of our initiatives were funded. And we didn't get everything that we wanted, but we got most of what we wanted in this category, and it'll be a nice advance and modernization of the programs that we have to support military members and their family. It includes things like more assistance counselors, guidance counselors for returning veterans as they come back to campus and try to weave their way through the financial aid system for college. It includes enhancements to the GI Bill. It includes a whole array of reintegration and support services for returning members of our military, and that's clearly one of the highlights of the session from my standpoint. Number two, fiscal discipline is something that was very important to us. We define that as living within our means, and for the reasons I just described, 10% is enough, and families don't get to go out and say, well, we only have a certain budget, but we're going to go bust it and spend it any way that we want. Government, state government, needs to learn to live within its means. And proposals to increase the state budget by 14 or 15% at 2 or 3 or 4 times the rate of inflation are not sustainable, they're not responsible, and it's disconnected from the reality of what's taking place in the larger economy and the growth rate of the larger economy in Minnesota and the country. Before the vetoes, we've passed out some sheets. You should have a press release. You should have a longer press release is, I think, one page. You should have a longer document that is a list of achievements, more lengthy, and then you should have a spreadsheet that shows some information about the budget looking like this. So I'll be referring to this page here. On the spreadsheet, if you look at the bottom line, if these are from the Department of Finance, and we have Commissioner Hansen here and Jim Showalter, Deputy Commissioner as well. These are preliminary, but they are from the Department of Finance, and they think that these will be close, very close to the final numbers. If these bills are all signed into law in their entirety without line item vetoes or vetoes, the rate of growth of the budget will be 10.1%. So it's lower than I suggested to you last night. I thought it might be 10.2 or 10.5. The numbers have been recalibrated now that we have the bills. It's 10.1%. We also have a very sound financial picture underneath that for the state. You know, we have dug ourselves out of a big hole, returned the state to fiscal stability, and the bond houses who rate our, you know, fiscal stability going forward are going to like these facts. In fiscal year 08-09, which is the 2-year budget cycle that will be starting this July, We have $200 million on the bottom line unspent as a cushion, plus for fiscal years 10 and 11, which is the two-year budget cycle beyond that, we have $1.1 billion in structural balance. So those are very healthy numbers, and those were goals that we set to have those numbers at a robust level as we go forward to try to ensure the fiscal stability of the state. If that $200 million in 08-09 is not spent, it will roll forward into the next biennium, leaving $1.3 billion. So $1.1 in structural balance, $1.3 in budgetary balance. Those are very healthy numbers by any measure. Third, in energy and environment, I mentioned to you we had proposed for the last 2 years a standard, a renewable energy standard of 25% by the year 2025. That passed. It's historic. It's nation-leading. One of the leading environmental and conservation groups in Minnesota have called it the most aggressive renewable energy standard in the country. That's combined with most of our next-generation energy initiatives passing, including doubling the number of E85 pumps in Minnesota, decreasing our fossil fuel consumption by 15% by the year 2015, $50 million for the Clean Water Legacy Act. I know there's some concerns about whether more was needed, but the reality of it is, at least in the near term, the infrastructure to support that program has to ramp up. There has to be people hired. There has to be technical assistance brought to the forefront. And this was, we think, the maximum amount that the bureaucracy could actually absorb and deploy, and that will be ramped up over time. But we think that's a very nice start. In the area of education, funding and reform, there's $794 million additional for K-12 education, one of the larger increases in K-12 education in recent years. That overall money, if you look at that over the previous budget cycle, it's about a 5.8% increase. So you'll hear people putting different spins on this, you know, only 2-1 on the formula, or other people who want to promote the bill will look at it on an all-in, you know, Texas Hold'em basis, put it all in, it's $794 million. If you divide that by the number of pupils, you get different percentages depending on which slice of the picture you want to look at. I will remind folks that under my budget proposal on the general education formula, all schools per pupil would have received 2% in the first year and 2% in the second year for sure, but then they also had a chance to get an additional 2% each year based on performance measurements and results, so they could have received up to 4% each year. And that was, I think, a better outcome than the bill that you have before us, at least as to the general education formula. For those of you who don't follow the vagaries of all this stuff, which other formulas the money gets put into has a lot to do with how the money gets distributed. This thing, there's only about 20 people in the whole state who understand the school funding formula in totality. You know, the press and the public kind of latch onto the general education formula, and that's, you know, where most of the attention is. But in this particular bill, that's not even where the majority of the money is. Most of it's in other categories, which are more obscure and more difficult to explain. But depending, again, which category you put the money in, it affects the distribution of the money. So you'll see, for example, the Minneapolis Public Schools under this bill getting a nearly $1,600 per pupil increase. You'll see some other districts on the low end getting a $600 or $700 per pupil increase. That's about the range in the bill, with some exceptions, some outliers, $600 per pupil to about $1,600. And we can make the runs available to you if you're interested in it in more detail. It includes a continuation of QCOMP as a general education formula program. It includes our high school reforms in part, with particular focus on dual enrollment, you know, getting those college credits into the high school and paying for those and giving kids a chance to proceed with that. Regional math and science academies, and it's a good start on ACHIEVE, which will be for low and modest income students to try to take more rigorous, more relevant classes in high school and earn college credit, and actually then have scholarship money set aside for them if they achieve those goals. Higher education came in at about our budget proposal, which is, depending on whether it's Minsky or the U here, about 12 to 14% increase. That's a very robust amount of increase for the higher education system, and they adopted the House proposal to have tuition caps, so 3.5% for the U and 4% for Minsky, I think. So tuition will be contained at that level. And the overall funding levels, were quite robust to higher ed. They made out, in some ways, better than the K-12 system under this budget proposal. And then it also has at least the beginnings of a performance pay movement for higher ed. It's long overdue, you know, the tradition is give them the money and hope good things happen, but we'd like to at least start having accountability for the results and strategic objectives that we'd like them to accomplish with the money. And then lastly, healthcare. And this isn't a criticism, it's just an observation. Everybody goes around the state as politicians and talks about how education's the number one thing. But if you look at the number one thing in terms of the budget growth in this budget as well as almost every other budget the last 15 years, whether they like to admit it or not, most of the money's going into social services. And that happens here at a very high level. This is a big bill with, if you include the general fund spending plus the healthcare access fund spending plus the TANF spending and other little side accounts, it is a very large increase, in my view, a misprioritization of the relative growth in the budget. Some growth would have been good in this area, but more of it should have been directed into education, in my opinion. That being said, there are good things in this health and human services budget. Healthcare access was expanded significantly for adults and for children. There's about 70,000 uninsured children in Minnesota. This bill will, through outreach and other activities, ramp up coverage for them, and it restores eligibility and increases eligibility in many other categories for adults as well. It includes our mental health reform. I think everybody knows we have a busted mental health care delivery system in Minnesota. It's fragmented. It's not coordinated. It's a relic of the past, and so this is a very important reform. And it includes funding to improve it along those lines. Also note, even though this is kind of insider stuff, that getting administrative and billing uniformity within the healthcare delivery system is very important. You got lots of insurance companies, hospitals, clinics, doctors all sending each other forms, having lots of people in the back room having to figure out compliance with different requirements by different third-party payers, government programs. We're trying to get everybody onto one billing system, one code system. We think that'll improve the efficiency, and that's in the bill. And then the smoking ban will also have positive health effects. The health effects, detrimental health effects of secondhand smoke are well documented, and they are severe. And being able to have the smoking ban statewide in Minnesota, I think, will have a positive impact on health also. Job Z continues more or less in its current form with some modest definitional refinements. And then, of course, we pushed back and pushed out $5.5 billion worth of tax increases that were proposed by my friends on the other side of the aisle that did not survive the process, and I think that's good news as well.
To learn more about any of the subjects addressed in this podcast, please visit Governor Pawlenty's website at www.governor.state.mn.us. Also, be sure to regularly check the governor's website for more podcasts from Governor Pawlenty.